Hey everybody, Sharon McLaughlin here. I'm the founder of MindLow and the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Facebook group. Each week, I'll be bringing you tips to help build your business. One of the problems that we have as business owners is that we don't know where to focus, and this is where my journals come in. Could you do me a favor? If you like what you're hearing, could you leave a good review and also share it with a friend? Today we're going to be talking about why our emails end up in the spam folder. But before we get started, I have to remind you that my journal is now on sale. You can find that at mindlull.com. That's MindLull.com. If you're struggling with how you're spending your time, then do me a favor, take a look at it. We sit down on Sunday night, we plan out our week, and we reassess at the end of each day. There's also some trackers in there, and there's some journal prompts to really get you thinking about what you want in your business. All of this is designed to move the needle forward. All right, guys, let's get started. Why our emails end up in the spam folder? There's a number of reasons for this, so let's go through it. One thing to start off with, emails are not dead. They're one of the best ways to communicate with your potential clients or with your clients. And the reason why I say that is because how else do we do that? You can do one-on-one, which by far is always the best. But you want to be around, right? Out of sight, out of mind. So one of the things that you want to do is communicate on a regular basis. And when you look around at social media, that would be another option. The platforms have changed so much in the last few years. You may see yourself, if you're tracking the numbers, like what's going on. Do you see that the Facebook reaches less? Do you see that the Instagram reaches less? You have to do a lot more to be visible on social media. So always it will be the email list. That will never go away. Now you may have problems with your host. So what I recommend is actually downloading. It comes in a CSV file, I believe. Downloading your email list once in a while so that you never lose it. Make sure you have almost in an Excel, you know, lots of different columns. And usually it includes a name, the email, and different factors as well, depending on what you're asking for. Remember to download that once in a while. But communicating. When you send an email out, providing it's not ending up in the spam folder, which we're going to be talking about today, you'll be able to communicate with your clients or potential clients. So it's a great way to interact. So one of the first things is that you weren't given permission. And this is the problem as far as like going to places like Fiverr or even Upwork and asking for email list, like how someone generated an email list for you. You really don't know how old that list is. You can ask, how old is this list? The other thing is, how warm is the list? If you collect an email, but then you don't send an email for months later, that's a problem. So it's no longer considered a warm list. So be careful of that. Number reason why it's going to end up in the spam folder is because you weren't given permission. We talk about different opt-ins. There's a single opt-in and a double opt-in. It's easier to grow your list with a single opt-in. However, they may not be opening up your emails as much. Typically, when you start off right from the beginning with a double opt-in, that is, you sign up and then you have to actually go to your emails and look for that email and then confirm it. That's a double opt-in. There's two steps there. That generally signifies that that person is really interested in what you're providing. We can talk about opt-ins on another podcast. Know that if it's a double opt-in, typically this is going to be a stronger list, all right? And then the sender information, where is the information coming from? When you send out an email, there has to be a reply to. So if you find out that, if you see that your emails are ending up in spam, you want to check where those emails that you're sending, what's the reply to? It could be an expired domain that you're sending to. Some of us rebrand and we forget to change things like this, like on our email list. If that email that you're sending from is a dead email, that's also another reason why it's going to end up in spam. So that's a problem. You definitely need to check on that. There's other things that are required by the FTC. And one of those things, well, there's a couple of things. The unsubscribe button. Most of the emails that you receive, there's typically a way to unsubscribe. And if there's not a way and you don't know this person, it's actually in violation of the FTC. There has to be that unsubscribe. So one of the things that you do when you go to hosting platforms, email typically comes in a template. And what you could do is remove a lot of it, whether the heading, the images, even unsubscribe. Don't remove that unsubscribe, because when you remove it, the chances are when you send that email, first of all, it's against FTC, but also there's a higher chance it's going to end up in spam as well. Another thing that's required on emails is the actual physical address of your business. If you don't have an address, it's likely that it's going to end up in spam. So just like there's verifications of like domains, there's verifications of emails as well. When you're sending emails, it's almost like a screening process. They're looking for the unsubscribe button, and they're also looking for the physical address. So don't forget to send them. What's in your email itself? The heading of the email, as well as the body of the email. What words are you using? Sometimes we call spam trigger words, and those are words such as free. When you're offering things like free, when you're using a lot of exclamation points, when you're doing a lot of emojis, things like double your income, those are all basically trigger words for spam. So the problem with that is that, again, the screeners, I'll call them the screeners, are more likely to see this email being sent and say, this is a spam. This belongs in spam. Nobody should be sending an email like this. Another problem is the headline itself. Using a lot of capital letters, such as like the whole word is capitalized or the whole sentence in the subject line is capitalized. That's a no-no. That's another reason why this is your email is going to end up in spam. So be careful of that. Be careful of false promises and sounding too salesy and pushy. Remember, this is all computerized and it's artificial intelligence. They know what to look for as far as a very salesy email. Typically, those words are the same and they're the spam trigger words. The same that's going to be found in the body is going to be found in the headline. So just be careful of that. A lot of times when you're sending an email, there's a way to send a test email. Now, I've done that before for a number of reasons. You want to make sure that the links are working, and we'll get into that as well. But also I want to make sure that what the spam score is. The spam score is good because it's going to give me an idea of where my email lies as far as being very high number, as far as like, yes, this is a spammed email, or a low number where it's most likely going to go through. I was mentioning links. Be very careful with the attachments that you're using. Too many links are going to increase the chance of your email ending up in spam. So again, take note of that. Be careful of the amount of images and also videos that are going into an email. More images suggest more sales and again, higher chance of it going into spam. Same thing with the video. Because of the size of the video, again, more chance of it going into spam. One of the things that the marketers will recommend is actually doing an image of the video and then attaching the actual image itself in the email, and then having that link off to like YouTube or Vimeo, basically a video hosting site, so that the whole video isn't on the email. Incorporating a video will increase the chance of that email going into spam, so something else to consider. When I say another reason is that your email itself isn't actually properly authenticated. So what does that mean? I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. So just so that you know that you're familiar with these certain terms, you may hear SPF, and that's Sender Policy Framework. Basically has to do with approved IPs, or basically has to do with the IP address that the email is being sent from. We want to make sure it's a good domain. The other word you may hear is DKIM, standing for Domain Keys Identified Mail. And that's an email security standard. It's designed to make sure that messages aren't altered in transit. Remember, we worry about phishing and people getting a hold of our emails. There are some words like send me money that actually increase the chance of somebody trying to get into your email system. I have a friend who's a lawyer, works a lot with real estate, and apparently he, although he didn't do it, sent out an email to one of his customers asking for a wire transfer. He never sent that request for a wire transfer. Somebody had gotten into his email. They were able to trace it from the United States and into Eastern Europe. And that's it. the money was transferred out and no one ever saw that $100,000. So you really have to be careful about the words that you're using and really be careful. Change your passwords. It's important. You don't want anyone breaking into your email. You may not be wiring $100,000, but there's a lot of personal information there. So you don't want anybody hacking in. The other thing that could be a potential problem is actually having a domain that has a bad reputation. Now, there's a number of reasons for that. The most common that comes to my mind is when you purchase an old domain. People purchase old domains because they've had some traffic to it, but you don't actually know what has happened with that, if they've had accounts shut down, and that all is basically carried through in that domain. So just be careful of that. Look into, I don't know that much about it, but I've heard awful stories about it. So just be careful if you're purchasing old domains that it hasn't been black hatted before and there's not a bit like a bad reputation associated with the domain that you're thinking about buying. There's actually ways to check the domain reputation. I think Gmail offers something like that. So just look into that. Keeping your list clean, and what I mean by clean is getting rid of all the people who have unsubscribed, put your emails into spam. Make sure that your email list is clean and it's updated, and that on a regular basis you're sending out emails, because that's going to keep the list warm. It's also going to increase your open rate, so just make sure that you're sending out good emails that has a lot of value. There's always a chance that a bot is going to get into your opt-in. And what they do is they just fill up your email list. So one of the things that you can do is add a capture. So you have the email, you have the name, and then you would have a capture. Basically, one of those checkboxes that say, I'm not a robot. Sometimes there's some images, like pick out the pictures with traffic lights. That's what a capture is. And that's going to help prevent any of the bots from attacking your email. The website links can be a problem as well. So make sure that when you're doing the links, it's going to a .com. Try to avoid sending it to a .com forward slash whatever is after the forward slash. More chance of it ending up in spam if it has that forward slash on it. We've covered a lot. In summary, writing to people on a regular basis and also clearing out that list, making sure that you're wiping away the unsubscribes as well as people who put you into the spam folder. Make sure the headline and the body of the email don't have a lot of spam words such as free, a lot of capital letters, a lot of explanation points. Make sure that there's not too many attachments, and the attachments that are there should go to a .com rather than a .com forward slash. Make sure that the sender email is accurate and active, and make sure the person you're sending to is also active. All right, guys, I'll see you in another video. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.